in our church for them all. And it is the seat that you see here, a silhouette, an outline of one serviceman, part of the there but not there commemorations. And its presence helps us to remember the men of Haverhill and of our own Methodist Church who gave their lives during the First World War. And we come to remember them with a debt of gratitude. We're going to watch a Royal British Legion video which lasts 1 minute and tells why we can be thankful today for the World War I generation.
Generation 4.
The sacrifices made by the people who served on the front line.
The Commonwealth nation who stood by Britain's side.
The life-saving advances made by our medics.
The enormous strides made in women's rights, brought about by the incredible women of the time.
Innovations which have become commonplace today, like the widespread wearing of wristwatches.
The use of wireless technology which led to the rise of the modern radio.
Pioneering the way, we use parachutes.
And the major developments in prosthetic limbs that continue to help people 100 years later.
To the armed forces in the First World War generation, who served, sacrificed, and changed our world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Each generation passes on their memory and gratitude to the next generation. And some of our Sunday club children are now going to come and pay their own tribute.
Today we turn back the clock 100 years to 1918. What did our town look like 100 years ago? This is our high street. It looks so different.
Years ago, just 5,000 people lived in Haverhill. Today, 27,000 people live here. Many people used to work in factories like this one.
If you walked to church 100 years ago, you would walk past these small cottages. Today, we remember families whose fathers and sons were away in France serving king and country in the First World War.
144 men from our town never came home. Today we remember again the 10 young men from our church and Sunday school who died.
Today we say thank you. Please stand as we read out their names.
In loving memory, we remember the lives of Clement Rush, Penn Mills, Clifford Sizer.
Alfred Webb, Peter Mead, Victor Chapman.
John Claydon, Elias Lloyd, Arthur Beavis, John Jobson.
We honour your memory. We thank you for our freedom.
Thank you, Joshua, Luke, Chloe Ann, and Katie, for that tribute. Two names that we heard there, Penn Mills and Clement Rush, are Thelma's uncles. So, children, think about your uncle. And Thelma's uncles were Penn and Clement. So, history is closer than you think. These men were our own Christian soldiers, and they are our descendants, our family in the faith. So let us pray. A prayer for peace. Lord, bring peace in our world. Your peace in our streets. Your peace in our homes. Your peace in our hearts. We pray for children everywhere. And on this day, we dedicate these shoeboxes full of gifts sent with love. And we are thankful for all who have lovingly prepared them. And we pray for the children who will receive them. We pray for children in war zones. Shield them from harm, we pray. And we pray for our own young people. May they lead us in ways of peace. Bless our Sunday club and their leaders as they go to their groups. In Jesus' name, amen. So the young people are going to go now to their groups, and they will have their own remembrance at 11. As we lead up to the 11 o'clock silence, I'm going to read some first-hand accounts of what happened on the front line in France when that moment of armistice came round. Firstly, by Major Keith Officer from the Australian Corps. At 11 o'clock on the 11th of November, I was sitting in a room in the brewer's house at La Cato, which had been Sir John French's headquarters at the time of the Battle of the Marne. I was sitting at a table with a major in the Scots Greys, who had a large, old-fashioned hunting watch, which he put on the table and watched the minutes go round. When 11 o'clock came, he shut up his watch and said, "I wonder what we are all going to do next." This was very much the feeling of everyone. What was one going to do next? To some of us, it was the end of 4 years. To others, 3 years. To some, less. For many of us, it was practically the only life we had known. We had started so young. Nearby, there was a German machine gun unit giving our troops a lot of trouble. They kept on firing until practically 11 o'clock. At precisely 11 o'clock, an officer stepped out of their position, stood up, lifted his helmet, and bowed to the British troops. He then fell in all his men in the front of the trench and marched them off. I always thought that that was a wonderful display of confidence in British chivalry, because the temptation to fire on them must have been very great. And then Corporal Clifford Lane from the 1st Battalion, Hertfordshire Regiment. As far as the armistice itself was concerned, it was a kind of anticlimax. We were too far gone, too exhausted really to enjoy it. All we wanted to do was to go back to our billets. There was no cheering, no singing. That day we had no alcohol at all. We simply celebrated the armistice in silence and thankfulness that it was all over. And I believe that happened quite a lot in France. We were all drained of emotion. That's what it amounted to. And then lastly, Sergeant Major Richard Tobin of the Hood Battalion, Royal Naval Division. The armistice came, the day we had dreamed of. The guns stopped. The fighting stopped. 4 years of noise and bangs ended in silence. The killings had stopped. We were stunned. I had been out since 1914. I should have been happy. I was sad. I thought of the slaughter, the hardships, the waste, and the friends I had lost. In a moment, we shall hear a recording of the last post, followed by 2 minutes of silent remembrance. Pictures will be on the screen, or you may wish to close your eyes if the screen is a distraction. And afterwards, when I read the poem For the Fallen, please repeat the last line, "We will remember them." If you are able, please stand. With one heart, let us now remember before God victims of war on each side and those who suffer the consequences of war today. Let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of humankind. That are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. when you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Let us pray. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We remain standing as we look to the cross and sing a hymn which tells of the redeeming sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Remembrance Sunday, the widow in this gospel story surely represents that community of the bereaved that we remember today. Those left behind, war widows, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, sons and daughters, on all sides, and those caught in between. Across the world and across the street, violence still takes much away. Wars continue. Weapons are amassed. Recent knife crime has taken away the lives of young men in London and in other cities. The shooting this week in the United States snatched away the lives of young students. Yes, the shadow of grief hangs over our world, just as it did 100 years ago in 1918. What do we think about this widow? This widow in the Bible story was invisible, rather like this outline which we see before us. Most people looked right through her, right past her. She was there, but not there. But Jesus, to whom everyone is noticed, everyone is valuable, Jesus, in his compassion, noticed her. Jesus made this widow visible. He gave her value. Likewise, on Remembrance Sunday, what is invisible is made visible. What might be forgotten is remembered. Are war dead? Are more than names carved in stone? They are brought to life. Their stories on posters are in our shop windows in the town. Cold statistics are made flesh and blood today. And what links this widow in the Bible story with those we remember can be put in one word: sacrifice. This widow, who had so little, gave everything she had, literally her life. She gave out of her poverty, while others, with great display, gave out of their wealth. But we need to be clear about what the main teaching point in this gospel account is. It's not that every little helps, or even that God accepts an offering, however small, although that may be true. What Jesus is highlighting as he pointed out this widow isn't that it was right that she gave everything she had, but rather how wrong it was that the temple tax system was so biased and made such unreasonable demands on such widows. So this story is very much a lament, a shocking story spoken against the powerful and the religious leaders. The widow's sacrifice was demanded by powerful men. And for some of the war dead we remember today, their sacrifice too was also demanded. In World War I, sacrifice was demanded by conscription and compulsion. Their sacrifices was demanded by military orders and battle campaigns. Others offered their services of their own free will. Today we remember countless selfless acts of bravery and heroism by women and men on the home front and overseas, where lives were given that others might be saved. That what was right and good would overcome what was wrong and evil. And that central principle still stands 100 years on. Whether their sacrifice was demanded or freely given, today we are thankful in equal measure. They gave their all. They gave their tomorrows for our today. And wouldn't many, if not all, of Haverhill's fallen be surprised and humbled at being remembered 100 years later? Wouldn't the unknown soldier buried in Westminster Abbey be surprised and humbled by such an honour? His memorial reads, "They buried him among the kings because he had done good toward God and toward his house." Surprised, yes. But then, true giving is never a matter of public display. In this Bible encounter, we were told how Jesus was watching people putting their money in the temple treasury. And this temple treasury would have been large wooden chests ranged along the wall of the temple. And it has been suggested that only copper coins were permitted. So a large gift would take a long time and make a great noise to put in, perhaps through a large trumpet to collect all the coins. But Jesus, you see, denounces such practice, such boastfulness and swagger. Making a noise about giving is not the Christian way. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus said, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." As his disciples today, Jesus teaches us the way of sacrificial giving and sacrificial living. We are to give without drawing attention to ourselves, to be invisible in our giving. So when we leave here today, when night falls and our remembrance ends, when the poppies disappear for another year, let us commit ourselves to be those who give, to those who live in peace, peacemakers and bridge builders, in our homes and families, in our workplace, in our schools and colleges, in the marketplace, and in our national life. Over 100 years ago, political disintegration in Europe led to conflict. 100 years on, with Britain leaving the European Union, let us pray that this great nation of ours, the mother of the free, will be led by God in ways of righteousness, freedom, and peace for the sake of our children and our young people, the rising generation. And as we build for the next 100 years, let fear and suspicion be removed, and pray that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God. Amen. Eternal God, we come to you with these gifts to offer our sacrifice of praise and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the world peace, and to us and all the faithful life everlasting. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and those you remember this day and forevermore. Amen.